Okay, let's turn to Romans chapter 7, and let's do pray for Pastor Jeremy and Sister Julie and the family down at Needmore this morning, ministering. Pray for Brother Andrew, still at survival camp. Lord willing, he's surviving there, so pray for him. I remember Brother Andy working out of town. Pray for most of the Coy family traveling. You have Brother Ethan here helping out. Pray for Brother Reese down in Mexico. I believe is it tonight he flies home or in the early morning hours. So pray for Brother Reese's safety. And pray for Sister Stacy for strength and baby coming. Pray for Sister Wall. Tomorrow she's supposed to have blood work done, lab work. And the results of that will, if it comes back good, Brother Wall is going to try to go to Haiti August 25th and get things going for Bible Institute. So pray about that. Very important doctor visit tomorrow for them. Let's see. Continue to pray for the Reimer family and, some of them in Wisconsin. Pray for Sister Emily recovering. So remember them in prayer. Pray for Brother Luke and Sister Sarah. Last minute countdown going on here. So remember them and all they're trying to accomplish. And let's see. Pray for my folks this morning. Remember them in prayer. Probably missing some here. I don't know. Is there any others on your hearts? Pray for Brother Shull. He did talk to the young man that owns the boat. The boat is just sitting in the harbor there most of the time. But the young man does not want to rent it out. But he is going to sell it in September, he said, for a discounted price as a demonstrator model. So depending on the price, whether Brother Shull will take him up on that or whether he'll want to order a new boat for the spring. So pray for them. Pray for the Needhams and their needs, trying to get the airplane flown over there in October, Lord willing. So remember them. Pray for the Garamies, the septic problem. The county's trying to decide what route they're going to make them go on that. So pray for them. We think things are expensive here. Well, they've given him a price of $30-some thousand before, and to my understanding, that isn't even a raised septic system. So I don't know what that must cost. So remember them in prayer. So, okay. Yeah, Brother Beery, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Okay, let's go to Romans chapter 7. And in verse 4, Romans 7, verse 4, "Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death." So we looked at that last week, and so many people think that while becoming a Christian, life is boring, dead, dull, can't have any fun anymore. So we talked last week about that's not at all the Christian life. It's the more abundant life in John chapter 10. If you hold your place here in John chapter 10, life is exciting when we follow the Lord. In John 10, verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have what? Life. And that they might have it what? More abundantly. And if you go back to verse 9 there, it says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find what? Pasture. And so let's go to Psalm 23. Psalm 23, when you think of pasture, I think of this psalm. How many of you like Werner's ginger ale? Anyone? Okay, I don't see a hand. I see a maybe. All right. When I was growing up, when we had the stomach flu in our home, my folks would buy Werner's ginger ale to when we could start drinking again to get us back feeling well. So Werner's ginger ale was not a pleasurable drink for me to drink because it always I always associated it with a stomach flu. So that it didn't throw my soul anyway. So in Psalm 23, so many times people think of this as a funeral psalm. And it's fine to use it as a funeral psalm. It is comforting. But Psalm 23 really is not ushering us into the grave, but describing the fruitful, abundant Christian life. So let's read it here, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So let's look at this psalm in verse 1. The Lord is what? My shepherd. And then it says, I shall what? Not want. Now, let me go back to the Christian life. So the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Does that sound like an unhappy life? No. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So we're going to look. The shepherd is a protector. Number two, the shepherd is a provider. I think I was sharing with Brother Jared. We were having a conversation and thinking about, starting out in as a family and a marriage. And, there's so many things to purchase and to get a home going. And I heard my wife talking to someone in this last week about our first trip to the grocery store after we were married. And it was, we were buying waste baskets and, I don't know, probably brooms and mops. And so it wasn't just groceries, but that was our biggest grocery bill, per se, in a long, 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 long time afterwards, just trying to get set up everything. But the Lord is our provider. And there's so many wonderful promises. If you hold your place here, notice with me in Malachi chapter 3. You know, we found that God provided. Did we live like a king and a queen in luxury? No, we didn't live in luxury, but we didn't live in want either. Malachi 3:10. It says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And what? Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. That reminds me of a conversation I had with Brother Jesse last night about room enough for things. He was helping Brother Len move some things, as Brother Len has moved locations where he's living. But, and we're talking about room and storage compartments and things. And I think we can all attest to that fact that the Lord blesses with many things, and so many things over the years that we don't have room enough where to put it is a problem. But that doesn't sound like going in want, does it? He'll pour us out a blessing. Notice in Luke chapter 6, as we think of God's provision, he's our shepherd. Luke 6 and verse 38. The Bible says what there? Give. Give and it shall be given unto you. Well, then what? Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. So God, if you go back to Psalm 23, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I wouldn't call that a hard life or an unhappy life. God is providing our needs, and it's just a blessing. We don't have to worry. Notice, hold your place again here, Matthew chapter 6. We don't have to worry about our needs. I mean, that should be a huge load of stress off from us. I've noticed M57 in the evenings, because gas is so high, M57 in the evenings, a lot of times, in this particular area anyway, is much slower, the traffic. There may be some exceptions, but I've just noticed there's just, and I've also noticed the lines at the restaurant, that they're much shorter. And because, why? Well, people are trying to afford the gas just to get to work now. But in Matthew chapter 6, in verse 31, Matthew 6:31. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do what? The Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have what? Need of all these things. But seek ye what? First the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all what? These things shall be added unto you. And here's the stress reliever. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is what? The evil thereof. In other words, people worry. People worry. And the Bible calls that the evil thereof. Life is more than meat and drink. Life is more than just trying to exist. Life is to put God first there in verse 33, and he will add to us all these things. So let's go back to Psalm 23. So the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, it doesn't say the Lord is my jail warden or prison warden. No, he's not a taskmaster like that. The Lord is my shepherd. In verse 2, he maketh me to lie down in what? Green pastures. Now our grass is greening up again, but it was kind of brown. The Lord makes me to lie down in green pastures. Now, if you are a sheep, that's food. Brother Titus was saying something about, I can't remember the whole conversation, but it was about a refrigerator or something full of pizza. So it was something about food. And so that's what verse 2, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. To a sheep, that's food. That's lush food, green pastures. And then it says, he leadeth me beside what? The still water. So he takes the fear away. Sheep are frightened and would be afraid to drink of rushing waters. So he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. And isn't verse 2 exactly what we just read in Matthew 6? We're not to take thought for what we eat or drink or clothes. God meeting those needs. And that's exactly two of those things he's talking about right here. Verse 2, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That's food. He leadeth me beside the still waters. That's the drink. So that's not a life of stress and turmoil. It's a life, the more we rest on him, the more calm life can be. Notice with me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Actually, let's back up to verse 17. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says what? Pray without what? Ceasing. And then it says in everything what? Give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Last evening I was waiting at our road trying to enter 57, and there was a man in a Jeep, and a lot of Jeeps have the spare tire right on the back. And so a lot of times they'll put a cover on the back. Somebody running around has one of those covers that says, if you can read this, I'm okay. And then bottom side up, it says, if you can read this, I'm not okay. So Jeep lovers just have something about coming up with funny sayings anyway. But I was waiting at our road to get out in 57, and there was a man with a very vile saying on his spare tire cover that had to do with cancer. And I thought, boy, who would want to drive around in a vehicle with some vile saying on the back of your vehicle? Well, this guy did. But anyway, so we're waiting at 57, and last night, just at that point, the road wasn't dead. It was really alive with a lot of traffic. So he got impatient, and there was a car across on Montcalm wanting to come straight through, go north. And so we're waiting. I'm behind this guy, and traffic coming both ways. And so finally, he wanted to get the jump on this car coming across because he had to wait quite a while. So he pulls out into the westbound lane and just kind of parks. I mean, he's blocking that lane, waiting for one more car to come through. I mean, he wanted to go. He didn't want to give the right-of-way to this car coming straight through. So he's right out there blocking the lane. Well, this car wasn't coming as fast as he thought, and another car is coming from this way and lays on his horn. And so finally this car passes, and he, goes out. And I thought, it just fits the saying on the back of his Jeep. It's vile, and he's impatient, and he makes people mad. I mean, he makes people mad at what he has on the back of his Jeep, and he makes people mad, pulls out in front of some, and it's just, what a horrible way to live. But the Bible says here, in everything give thanks. So anyway, so Lord clears the traffic, and then I pulled out, and I just said, thank you, Lord. Thank you. And, that's the difference between some people sitting in their cars. In fact, when I was coming back home from doing something, there was a vehicle there, and the traffic was heavy at that moment, and so a car was waiting. And then, not everyone jumps right out there like other people would. And so I'm turning a corner, and this vehicle is waiting. I turned on my signal light a long time ahead of time because, you know, if somebody turns on their signal light at the last minute, you know, you could have pulled out. But so I've got my signal light on, but this lady in a car at the stop sign does not come. And I'm looking at traffic coming the other way, and I'm thinking, well, she probably had time to make it. But so I'm turning the corner, and the car right behind her, another woman is in there. And her mouth is doing this number, and no one was in the car. Who's she talking to? The lady in the car in front of her. Does the lady in the car in front of her hear her? No. But she's mad. You can tell it on her face. She's mad. Like, why didn't you go? You know, you had the chance. And so that's the difference between us as Christians. We can what? In verse 17, 1 Thessalonians 5:17 said, pray without ceasing. So if we're praying, Lord, you know, please help the traffic to clear so I can get out. And then when he does, then verse 18, and everything give thanks. So while some people are swearing and cursing and angry, and no one's hearing them but God, they're just angry inside. Isn't it good to know the Lord and to know that he's in control of situations, in control of our lives? And we'll talk next service, Lord willing, about the plan he has for each one of us. And that fact makes life so much more enjoyable and is a great stress reliever when we know that it's not chaos, but God has a plan for our lives. And that brings me, if we could go to Proverbs 3. You know, years ago, there was someone that had a favorite Bible saying, no matter what happened, and it was, thank the Lord, thank the Lord. And, well, when you're facing an extremely hard time, the Bible talks about not singing songs to a heavy soul. And there's a time to say, you know, tell someone, well, thank the Lord. But when someone is, you know, if someone has just faced the death of someone really close to them, you know, it's kind of callous just to go out and say, well, thank the Lord. What did Jesus do when Lazarus died in John 11:35? Jesus wept. He wept. And the Bible tells us to weep with those that weep and to rejoice with those that rejoice. In other words, put ourselves in their same shoes. But in Proverbs 3:5, it says, trust in the Lord with what? All thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, what? Acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So I found that in all my ways, if I will acknowledge God and ask for his direction and help, that truly, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, I find myself thanking the Lord all day long. You know, I'm not sitting in my car cursing at God because the traffic's heavy. I find myself praying, Lord, you know, please help there to be a space so I can get out on the road. And then soon as there is, I find myself, thank you, Father, thank you. And so, yes, it is possible to thank the Lord in all things. But if we're not practicing 1 Thessalonians 5:17, the verse just before there, pray without ceasing, we will never in everything give thanks if we're not praying without ceasing. But if we are praying without ceasing, we will be giving God thanks all day long. Our problem is we have a task before us, and we don't pray because we think we can handle it. It seems like an easy task. Have you ever had a seemingly easy task go horribly wrong? Yes, and that's frustrating. So the key is, as it says here, in Proverbs 3:5-6, to in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So as we go back to Psalm 23, so it says, verse 2, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. So he's providing for us. Verse 3, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So he restoreth my soul. Have you ever been so weary and tired? And, you know, maybe you're in a battle. Maybe it's at work. Maybe it's just a hard day. And you do feel exhausted. You do feel tired. And that's the time when we go to the Lord. You know, Daniel would have been a man with a high stress level job. He was working for the king. And when you work for someone very important whose influence is vast, if you make a mistake, it makes your boss look bad, and that's not good when you're in that situation. So it's interesting, isn't it, that Daniel, when they outlawed prayer, he got on his knees before his open window as he did aforetime. And he did that three times a day, in the morning and at noon and in the evening. So here's a very important man with a very important job serving the most important man, worldly speaking, in the kingdom, the king. And he took time out to pray and ask for help. You know, to someone in that position, it's not just a job. It's not just pay, because Daniel is a servant. Normally for a servant, there is no paycheck. It's just trying to please your master or lose what? Your life. That's the difference. And so, you know, if Daniel made a mistake, well, what did he do? Prayer was outlawed. It was fraudulent, the law. It was deceitful. So what happened to Daniel? He's thrown in the lion's den. But God protected him. God gave him the peace that he needed. So in verse 4, Psalm 23, 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will what? Fear no evil. And I suspect this is one of the reasons why this psalm is used so frequently at funerals, because it's talking about walking through the valley of the shadow of death. But in this case, we're not talking about death. We're talking about walking through the valley of death, a dangerous place, but saying, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know, the rod normally would be picturing, you know, chastisement. But thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And, you know, as I said, you know, the rod and the staff, you know, if it's talking about an enemy or a lion or a bear, like David talked about when he was out there in the pasture watching the sheep, he had to fight a lion and a bear, but God protected him. Notice in Proverbs 3 and verse 24. A great couple verses here, a few verses. Proverbs 3:24. When thou liest down, thou shalt what? Not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be what? Sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be what? Thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. So verse 25, be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. So the Bible, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So this is a comforting psalm. Back in Psalm 23, so we can walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and not have to fear. So we're talking about the rod there. Notice with me in Proverbs 26:3. Proverbs 26:3. What did that mean to the people of that day? Proverbs 26:3. When they would read that psalm, the Bible says, a whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a what? A rod for who? The fool's back. So we're talking here about corporal punishment. Capital punishment is death, the death penalty. But corporal punishment is physical punishment. So God did allow for criminals to be whipped and the rod applied to them. Notice in Revelation 2, you know, you have these people right now that are beating up elderly people. Have you read about it? It's happening a lot in the big cities, but you'll have people coming up and just punching and kicking elderly people, not just men, but even women. It's horrible what's taking place. Because sometimes people say, well, why did God allow women criminals to be whipped? And the rod used on the fool's back. In Revelation 2:26. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with what? A rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. Well, it's like this. You know, you get someone like that will punch and kick, and sometimes these elderly people have died in recent weeks from these injuries. And so you get someone like that mentality. So they beat up an elderly person, and then what happens? The police officer, you know, grabs them, and what do? Oh, they whine and they complain, and oh, police brutality. You know, it's kind of like what Cain did. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. And let's pick up in verse 5. It says, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and his desire, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and what? Slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my what? My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall what? Slay me. Well, Cain, you're crying to God because you're afraid everyone that finds you now is going to want to kill you. What did you just do to your brother? He just slew him. He just killed his brother, but now he's whining because he's afraid everyone's going to want to kill him. Do you see, that is the same mentality today of so many who commit crimes. They beat up someone else, but they're afraid the police are going to get a little rough with them. So God did allow corporal, physical punishment. And you know, if that was the case, just think, these people that come along and they see an elderly woman or a man and they go punch him right in the face. And then they're down. I just read about one, I believe it was this last week. I don't know whether they punched or what, but they got this elderly lady, they hit her some way and she got on the ground and they kicked her in the face. They kicked her. Do you think someone like that would do that if they knew that if they got caught, someone would be allowed to come up to them and punch them in the face until they were on the ground, and then they would be allowed to kick them in the face? Do you think people like that would commit crimes like that if they knew the exact same thing would happen to them? I think they would think twice, knowing that everything they meted out to someone else, they were going to get back again. I think they would think twice. So our criminal justice system would be so much better off following the Word of God. It is a deterrent to crime when the Word of God is followed. So back in Psalm 23, I guess I lost my place here. In Psalm 23, in verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. So God is able to provide for us even before our enemies. He can prepare food. We read that in Matthew 6. Thou anointest my head with oil. That's refreshment. My cup runneth over. Even in the presence of mine enemies who are trying to kill me and hate me, God can provide food. God can provide drink. My cup runneth over with abundance. So then verse 6, surely goodness and what? Mercy shall follow me all the days of what? My life. So you see, the psalm is not ending up in death. It's ending up in life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So what a wonderful thing it is to serve God. He provides for our needs. He gives us peace in the midst of a storm. We don't have to worry about our needs being met like the world worries. You know, now they're fighting over the definition of what a recession is. You know, people are not being able to edit on Wikipedia now on that word because, you know, you have the liberal owners of Wikipedia and now they're, you know, they want to redefine what a recession is because, well, I won't get into that. I think you know what's going on. And they're trying to just censor speech. So praise God for his care for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, that we can be your children. And Lord, we are not complaining because we don't live in a mansion today. Lord, there will come that time when we go to be with you. But Lord, I would testify that you do wonderfully meet our needs and truly our cup runneth over. And even in the midst of a hostile day, spiritually speaking, you meet our needs just wonderfully. We thank you for that. And Lord, I pray that we would not be ashamed of you or of your word in this sinful generation, but that we would rejoice. I pray that there would be a peace that passeth all understanding, that would keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, and that people around us would know it. Whether they're just passing us in their car at a corner, I pray we wouldn't have that angry face on us, mouthing words of anger and cursing and because of traffic. I pray that the peace of God, I pray that if our lips are moving, it's in prayer to you and in thanksgiving to you. So, Lord, I pray that our lives would make a difference in this generation. We pray in Jesus' name.